Blog Talk Radio.
Either way, we're going. I don't know where we're going, but we're on our way. Anyway, what I do know is This is Paragon Radio. I'm Pogo Man, and we're broadcasting live from the Twin Cities, the Twin Super Cities of Paragon and Millennium Cities. And it's Monday night, a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Eastern Seaboard, that is. And we're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite at a high altitude, a high orbit, if you will, 0.0167 feet above sea level. I sound a little confused, don't I? I do know this. I get by with a little help from my friends. And this one in particular. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Others like us, we just call him Mad Viking.
The lunatic is on the air. The lunatic is on the air.
Oh, we've taken over the asylum, kids. And do you have brain damage?
Yeah.
I just want to say this. Hold on. I know it's not on the album, but shine on, you crazy diamonds. They have no idea what we're talking about.
Even though I grabbed a song that wasn't on the album, it was kind of fitting because I am Mad Viking. Yeah, but it is right. The 50th anniversary.
I said I want to say it's my show. You missed
okay,
last
week. Okay, then
you
say it. I
will.
50th.
Last Wednesday was the 50th anniversary of one of the greatest rock albums, one of the most iconic rock covers of all time, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. And I guarantee you, planetariums across the world will be celebrating with awesome laser light shows.
And White Castle will be raking in the money.
Oh, yes, there'll be laser light shows followed by White Castle driving lines around the corner going, what's going on, man? And owners will be like, hurry up, the laser light show's ending in 10 minutes. Hurry up, make those burgers. The sad thing is, I just checked, the only planetarium near me is like an hour away. They're charging like $17 for the show.
Oh.
It only lasts 45 minutes. And it's why? Because the album is only like not even 45 minutes. It's the album. You can only do a light show to the album, man. It's like, look it up. Look at the playtime.
And it reminds me a while back ago when AMC did what is known as Dark Side of the Rainbow, where you sync Dark Side of the Moon with The Wizard of Oz.
Which is kind of funny because, like I just said, the album barely goes 45 minutes, so how much of it did they do? Did they, like, keep looping it, or was it only just, like, the first hour of the movie? Or did it go wait till it went to color?
I think the standard rule applies. If you actually remember what happened when they got to the end of the album, you really was not watching Dark Side of the Rainbow.
I just know if you play the CD to the end, you hear a dude say a line. Okay. That's when it officially ends. And I remember playing it going, wait, what? I don't remember that. And we were like, rewind it. You know, if you hold down the thing and it rewinds mm-hmm. on the CD, which is weird. It normally doesn't do that. It's like, hold that down. Go back. What?
I suggested to the Buddy Night Girls on Wednesday night, see if you can find Dark Side of the Rainbow. We'll have the White Castle burgers ready on the side. And any
I'm
other
sure
monkeys.
I'll make his version. That's right. And I'll be bringing my popcorn, snacks, and special candy. I mean, candy and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, but like, you know. But like I said, you know, most people will go, if you remember how it ends, you really didn't watch it. Then again, they also said the same thing about Pink Floyd, The Wall, the movie.
Yeah. I've seen it like two or three times, and I remember watching it, and I'm like, I saw it at home, and I still can't remember how it ends. It's one of those things that's like, no, because you watch it, and you're like, what? What did I just see? you know, you remember bits and pieces of it, but still it's like, oh, okay. Actually, funny thing about The Wall, my stepsister is going for her second master's degree, her mm-hmm. second one, and she just had to do a paper about Pink Floyd, The Wall. Well, it's about, you know, the education system being bricks in the wall and how we have to change it. So I'm like, mm-hmm. so you want to break the wall?
We don't need no education.
Okay, keep going. You know what's funny? You know, no. What's funny, there's a line in the song, no dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
One of my stepbrothers, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, so to speak.
Oh, no. We have misheard lyrics coming. I hear it.
Yes. That line I just said, he thought for the long, even from being a kid when that song first came out, to I don't know how long, no matter how many times we told him. And when he got off the school bus, he would, like, yell these lyrics out loud. He got to that line. Ready? Now, he would do the whole song. Now, picture him, you know, a kid yelling the lines out, and everybody's walking home. Ready? Dukes of Hazzard in the classroom. And everyone would stop, turn around. What did you just say? Huh? And we're like, that's not what they're saying. Yes, it is. Fortunately, my older stepbrother had a copy of this on cassette. We played it 10 times in a row. We had the lyrics written down, pointing out to him, no dark sarcasm. I can't say that. He was one of these kids at the age of like 13 said his brain was full. Okay? He was one of those types. Okay? One of the great thinkers. You can't say the word no dark. You can't say dark sarcasm. Can you try? No. Oh my God.
And this was like a national anthem for every kid going to school in the 80s.
Yes. And it was just like, come on, man. Oh, come on.
For some reason I see you going, I don't know him, I've never known him.
No. The only saving grace,
he was adopted.
He is my stepbrother.
Oh.
And he wasn't my stepbrother yet. He just had, my mom was a babysitter for that family at that time. By the time, I think, yeah, when this song came, yeah. Fortunately, after that year, I never had to ride the bus with him again. I was like, thank God. It was just like, come on, man. Like, really? Like, we had to sit him down because the older, you know, it was like, you're embarrassing us. So my old, you know, what eventually became my older stepbrother goes, why is my tape? I was like, hold on, go ahead, sing the song.
It was like,
sing the song. So he goes outside and his friends are laughing. It's like, what? He goes, go ahead, tell him. And he's like, he came, he goes, seriously? He looks at me, he goes, seriously? It's like, yeah. He goes, he smacks him in the head. And I can't touch him because he's not my brother yet. Him, on the other hand, he could touch him because he goes, what is wrong with you? Are you stupid? And we're all nodding our heads.
Yep.
You know, it's like, and we all know, like, obviously this is the talk of the town now at this point. By the time wherever he was out with his friends, you know, because he quit school, you know. But, like, yeah, he had a level of intelligence. Like, you know. And it's like,
you know,
we're trying to... Yeah, we're trying to tell them. Yeah, yeah. These are the lyrics. These are the lyrics. It's right here in black and white.
It's like I know people who come up with misheard lyrics, but it's kind of on the cute side because they're kids. You know, I still remember family members here when All Star came out. Okay, Smash Mouth All Star.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
All right. Their lyrics was, "Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your Game Boy. Go play."
Okay. Okay.
You see, that's cute.
Right. Same guy thought it was, "Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Get laid." I'm like, "It's get go play." He goes, "What?" At least this time I played. He goes, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." Like, I wonder how they get away with that. Like, just, oh, God damn it, dude. And as soon as I thought right back to Sebastian in the classroom. I thought right back to that.
Oh, God forbid he actually heard the chants of Billy Idol hit Moni Moni.
Oh, God.
Then there's several different
versions depending on where
you are.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right, but yes. And there is a, speaking of another area of legendary musicians, there is a sad note. The last original founding... member of Lynyrd Skynyrd, Tom Williamson, passed away. So any play now, anytime you see Lynyrd Skynyrd's playing, no, they're not.
No, no, they're not. Unless they're playing up at the Great Gig in the Sky.
And I actually saw, I forget where I saw it, but they turned... You know how the end of the Titanic, where Rose goes back into the Titanic as she dies?
After she dies, yes, yes.
Yes. Someone made a video where they had Tom Williamson going on the plane with Freebird, the solo plane.
You know what's funny? I just said The Great Gig in the Sky. You know that's a song by Pink Floyd, right?
Yeah.
Here we are. It's all going back to Pink Floyd tonight, folks. You know, talking about other bands, it's all Pink Floyd tonight.
But, you know,
sorry.
I'm going like...
Go on.
No, now, I'm going like, okay, nice touch. I'll give credit to that. You know someone's going to be going like, that's tasteless. They died in a plane crash. I mean, yes, just like the Titanic, people died in the boat. Don't you get it?
Right.
Reference.
Right. But in this instance, it was a pristine Titanic. It never, you know, and I hate to tell you something. There's a theory that wasn't the Titanic. But that could be for another show. That could be for a whole other show.
Yeah. You know, so, like I said, I'll give credit. I got the reference. Okay, I can live with that one. And the fact
right.
that they had the guitar solo of Freebird playing as he joins the rest. Okay, I can live with that one. Like I said, but I know someone's going to freak.
Yeah. See, you got to play Freebird too for Wednesday night now.
Yep.
Hold on. The live version. You're going to have
all
a busy
right,
show Wednesday.
Yeah. I got Pink Floyd, parts 1 through 5 of Shine On You Crazy Diamond. And then you get Freebird. That's 12
wait,
minutes
wait,
right
wait,
there.
Wait, what do you mean 1 through 5? How about 1 through 9? That's 25
well,
and a half minutes right there.
Yeah, but the rest, of the album separates.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I found a person on YouTube that combines all 9 parts.
All right.
Yeah,
I haven't
listened
said,
to it yet. I just...
If you see any of the Buddy Night crew, tell them you got to get Dark Side of the Rainbow. It has
all right,
to
so
be
we got,
Dark Side of the Rainbow.
All right, you know what? All right, Shine On You Crazy Diamond 1 through 5, Dark Side of the Moon, the entire album. what else? Is Freebird, the live version. Man, your whole first two hours is like booked already, man. There's no request Wednesday night. We got it booked already.
And we'll be having White Castle burgers.
That's right. Alan, you got to bring dark. If you got to start learning how to make dark, well, White Castle burgers, forget the Allen burgers. Unless you can make sliders, Allen slider burgers that look like White Castle burgers.
Must have the onion squares. Fried.
Oh, those little onions. Yeah, those little onions they put in them.
It's not a White Castle burger without the onion slices.
That's right. Those little.
Yeah.
Oh, did I ever tell you the story from Icon?
You told me several. All right, let's hear this
the
one.
The White Castle story. Okay.
Yeah.
One of my friends needed to ride back. Did I tell you the White Castle story? My friend in the back seat.
Yeah, but you haven't told these guys, so go ahead.
Okay. So, for people listening, one of my friends needed to ride back to the hotel. And the one year they had the RPGA, the Role Playing Gamers Association, with the Living City of Greyhawk. It was really awesome back then. And I said, by the way, guys, and they were really cool. I was hanging out with them all weekend. And I've seen them. They were there for a couple of years. I knew them. I was like, can you do me a favor? My friend needs to ride back to the hotel. I was like, Rob, I forget the names now because it's been years since, you know, we've done this. So introduce them. You know, and he was playing. I was like, they're really cool guys. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, do you mind? No. You can ride with us. Yeah. They have a big car. All right. We're just going to make a stop on the way back. We're going to stop at White Castle. Oh, okay, cool. Okay. You know, no problem. So the next day I see him and he's sitting there. He goes, and he's just sitting there with wide eyes. I was like, I see him. I'm like, what? It was interesting. I was like, well, what happened? He goes, sit down. I'll tell you. He's looking around for everybody. He goes, I have to tell you what happened. And he's got me like in the corner of the room now of the building. Now, remember, this is Icon, I-C-O-N, for Icon. You know, it was like the Northeast biggest convention back then. Mm-hmm. And we're at Stony Brook University, and there's a little student lounge area, the building where the gaming is going on. So I'm like, all right, what happened? He goes, I appreciate the gesture. He goes, obviously you've never been in the car with them. I was like, okay, so what happened? He goes, now they're, I'm like 5'11". They're like 5'6" each, okay? And they're heavy set. He goes, holy shit, dude. He goes, it's comedy for the ages. He goes, I have a great story out of it. He goes, but I have a ride home today. I'm like, oh, good Lord, I'm sorry. He goes, oh, no, no. Wait till I tell the story. I'm like, oh, God. I can tell right away I'm regretting this, but it's a funny story. Yeah. Now we look back on, I haven't talked to him in a while, but we look back and laugh at it. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. And I was like, if I knew it was going to happen, I should just give him a ride home, but we wouldn't get the story. He goes, we get to White Castle. They order two 100 crate, you know, the 200 cheeseburger crates. Have you heard this one yet?
I remember you telling me this one, but like I said.
Okay. So for everybody listening. So now he goes, I'm thinking they're bringing this back for like a whole group of people. And they go, really? All of a sudden, the special bell goes off. They shut the lights off for the drive-thru. They lock the front doors. Because it's going to take a while to make this, so this way no one else can get in. They have now, because of the drive-through, they have to open up, you know, the drive. So when they hand the stuff to the drive, they have to open it up special to push it through. He goes to me, no, it's not for people there. It's for them. He goes to me, I kid you not, they start scarfing these things down so fast. As I, he goes, I was afraid to move because I didn't know what was going to happen. He goes, they finish the first crate before the second one is done. I was like, seriously? The guy at the window is watching in awe. Now, remember, this is like early to mid-2000s before they actually have video on the cell phones. So I'm adding this in. I think if they had it, You know, looking back, I think they would have added, I think the guy would have videoed him eating these things. But he's just staring in disbelief like, are you kidding me? My friend is scared of him. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. He goes, oh, it gets better. They get the second one. They leave. They're eating these on the way to the motel, to the hotel. They finish them. Hold on. That's distraction. They finish it before they get to the flight to the hotel. There's a 20-minute ride to the hotel. They finish it within 5 minutes of leaving. They each had, what was that, 100, 200? They each had 100 White Castle cheeseburgers.
And one potty emergency, as Wacko would say.
No. I was waiting to hear, like, did they order, like, a diet soda to wash it down? Because that would have been hilarious. I said to him, did you order anything? He goes, I was afraid to, because I'm sure they would have had it, too.
And it's like the quote the Nutty Professor part two. Yeah, you put your hand in there, you're going to get a nub.
Right. That's, I'm thinking somewhere along the line he ordered something, you know? Because I remember when I went there, there was White Castle around the corner. I would get like a 10, you know, the 10-pack. Because I went knowing that it was there and I was going to be there late, I would get like a light snack or I'd have like a really early dinner. And I wouldn't get home till 2 in the morning, right? So I would grab some, like, I would stop on the way and get, like, a 10-pack. And I would eat on the way home because it was like, God, I'm starving. I would get, like, a 10-pack, you know, French fries. They had, they had like, a Hungry Man special back then, like, 10 cheeseburgers, I think, and French fries. And I would get, like, a diet soda. Only because I don't like regular soda. You know?
All right.
And actually, the drive-through the one night, it was kind of slow. I was like, how come everybody's driving through? He's like, there's a convention at Stony Brook University tonight. Everybody's in the area is driving home. He goes, oh, that makes sense. He goes, so what's with the diet soda? I was like, he goes, a lot of people's like, it's the taste. I go, I know, right? He goes, at this point, right, what's the difference? I was like, to me, it's the taste. I was like, to me, regular soda always sits in my stomach funny, even if it's the only thing I'm drinking. He was really, he was like, yeah. And back then, I was working out all the time. I was like, this is my cheat weekend. And I was like, trust me. Like, leading up to the week, I was my diet was good. The week after, oh, my God, I cut back. And I, even, like, when I was working at Verizon and this convention was going on, I would take the week after off, and I would cut back and just – but – even if we didn't do anything, it was just, yeah, what was it, Friday night, Saturday? Yeah, it was only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So those 3 nights, I would treat myself to White Castle. And that was the only time of the year I would do that. So I was like, yep. So then that Sunday night, because it was over like 5 o'clock, I was like, yeah, I'm hitting, I wouldn't tell them I was stopping at White Castle. I was like, no, I just picked up a couple of things. I only picked up a 4-pack. The next morning, my SUV smelled like White Castle for the entire weekend. Because I eat it on the way home. Like, if I don't eat this, if I walk in with a White Castle burger at, like, 2 in the morning, you know, 1:30 in the morning, whatever time I got home, you know, they would be like, you know, all of a sudden people come, he's got White Castle. He's got White Castle. So I'd say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop at White Castle. Do you want me to get one, you know, who wants White Castle, you know, before I left, my call. I want. He was like, do you have the money for two? I was like, yeah, I'll get two, what they call them, not the crates, the suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fine, I'll get two suitcases. And, you know, I'll get a fry for everybody. It was funny, the same guy was working, he goes, what happened? I was like, well, tonight I'm buying for the families. We had this. It was like your bus was like, no, guilt. I had to buy the family. So this, that, and one Diet Coke. I was like, I know, the receipt's going to look ridiculous, right? He's laughing. He was cracking up. Like, the Diet Coke's actually right home.
now, we should state that the chefs are correct. When I say, you know, you cannot get the same reaction of a White Castle burger from the restaurant from a White Castle in the frozen food section.
No. Oh, my God. Now, this is what I want to know. Have you tried putting them in the oven? Because all I've ever – I tried the microwave, and they definitely don't taste the same. If you put them in the oven, are they the same?
I haven't tried.
Okay. Because I know I haven't looked at the thing as I was telling these stories.
You know, but it's like – if you go to Coney Island, you must try a Nathan's hot dog from the Nathan's restaurant in Coney Island. There is a big difference.
You know what's funny is we had, for some reason, I don't know what happened to Nathan's. We have up here a Dunkin' Donuts / Baskin Robbins, and they had a Nathan's thing in there. That's gone now. But they sell Nathan's frozen French fries and onion rings at the store.
Not the same.
No, it's good. It's good when you bake them in the oven, but kind of
like
missing
New York.
Something.
Yeah. New York, you got to go to New York to get New York pizza. Chicago pizza, go to Chicago. Philadelphia cheesesteak, go to Philly. If the bag carries
what was that last thing you said?
Philly cheesesteak.
Who? What? You're breaking up. I couldn't hear what. What?
But even, I know you're still angry about the Eagles, but even you have to admit, if you order a Philly cheesesteak and the bag is
you
not
go
dripping
to
with grease, that's not a Philly cheesesteak.
You gotta go, if you want something, you know, you gotta go to the source. You gotta go to where they make it. You can't get a Philly cheesesteak in New York. I'm sorry. If you want a pizza or a bagel, trust us.
You're good.
We live in the capital of pizza and bagels, or bagel and pizzas. Anytime, like my folks used to go down to Florida all the time to visit people, you know what they asked them? Can you bring some bagels with you? And not the frozen from the supermarket. They meant go to a bagel place. They meant a real bagel, any of the real bagel places. We have like 5 or 6 of them in our area. They meant go there and get like 3 or 4 dozen of them. Freeze them, and then bring them down in a cooler because they were driving down, and just bring them down to us like that.
I was living in the Florida Keys. We had Papa John's just came to the area, and the first thing they started advertising was New York style pizza. I'm like, all right, let's see this, and I looked at it. This is not New York style pizza. What do you mean?
Let me guess. Go ahead.
Well, for starters, the pizza was fit perfectly in the box. A New York pizza does not fit perfectly in the box. That's just for starters.
Let me get, was it like a pita bread with like Hunt's tomato sauce on it?
It was kind of like that, yeah. New York. You order a pepperoni, you get round pepperoni. Where do you get square pepperoni? No, that's not it. Sausage. You get the grounded up sausage. Nope, you get the circle sausage. Like, what the hell?
What?
Yeah.
Huh? I can't eat that, but huh? Ooh. What? Huh?
And there is a specific color to New York pizza. It's more of an orange color.
Yes, yes.
It is not supposed to be yellow.
Well, they use American cheese.
Well, they used mozzarella, but they didn't go all the way.
And don't forget, there has to be a certain level of grease on it.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't count. One of my friends, he started.
And the biggest rule, you do not break this if it is a New York pizza. You take the pizza. You fold the bottom in half.
Yes, thank
you. If you're wearing good clothing, then you put the napkin at the bottom of the fold. Mm-hmm. And that's how you eat a New York pizza.
And
if you see anyone with a fork and knife, like Mayor de Blasio, God, I wanted to slap him.
You slap the utensils out of their hands. Oh, and this one. If you see anybody taking napkins and patting the grease off of the pizza, you take the napkins, grease side, and slap them in the face with it.
Well, like I said, if you're wearing a good suit, you fold it, you put the napkin at the end of the fold.
Right.
You know, I can understand if you're wearing good clothing.
Hold on. And you make a funnel. This way it goes right into your mouth because that's where it's supposed to go. The grease is actually, the grease is bonus. It's a New York pizza. The grease is bonus. It goes right to your mouth.
Welcome to Paragon Radio on the Food Network.
That's right. This is so nice. This is how you eat New York pizza 101.
I will say that Eben Brooks moved from California to Jersey. His wife has trained him well. He learned not to pick up the fork and knife. He learned to do the fold. It took a while. At first, it was the flat pizza. All right, so they went in stages.
I got to say this. The only pizza I have eaten with a utensil, we tried this a few weeks ago. It's a baked ziti pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fold it. It doesn't fold. It's like it's so thick. It's like you can't fold it.
And if you order Sicilian, do not complain that there's a whole bunch of dough. That's how it's made.
Oh, I hate when people, it's too doughy. Then why'd you order it?
This is not supposed to be a Chicago deep dish. That's a different pizza.
And again, no utensils.
You know, that is a challenge to do the fold on a Chicago deep dish. It's a challenge. It can be done.
Sicilian should not be folded. Fold it. You hold it. Because if you try and fold it, that means it wasn't cut right.
Exactly.
You should just be able to hold it in the palm of your hand. So really quickly, let's do roll call.
I'm really fearing now that if Rain comes finally to New York, she will make that faux pas.
Okay. So
I will be going south.
No. South. You got new. Don't do that. No. So in the WCOC studios of Millennium City on Champions Online, you have myself, Pokemon, and Mad Viking. And hanging out with us, as always, Natalia Kromstock, Silver Egret hanging out on top of the camera, Mordicus, and Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom. Thank you guys. You guys rock. And hanging out with us, well, we had people hanging out with us in City of Heroes, and they've disappeared all of a sudden. Right? When we should have started here with the roll call. We would have had some people to say. All right, it's just us right now. Okay, right. Fine, be that way. You guys suck.
Well, you wanted to do it. All right, you wanted to do this, like we did last week.
Oh, yes, I'll play the song.
All right.
Wait, I just saw somebody pop into view. She's back. She was back. She was back for like a second before I could click on her. I can't get her name. All right. Studio. Song. Okay. Let's cue the music before we do this. It was a hit last week.
Four, three, two, one. You just made the list. Let's get it on.
Somebody I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Kick ass.
And I'm all out of bubblegum.
All out of bubblegum. Right on.
For those who don't know, that's
no.
The theme song for March Madness Mayhem, where we pick a whole bunch of songs of my regular selection, and we vote in the style of NCAA tourney which song will be deleted. Last week, we did the Suicide 64. Now we're at the Terrible 32, the second round.
Goodness. How did I do last week with my picks, by the way?
Yep. You were 50-50. Some of the highlights of, I will point out where I, you know, believe me, I wanted you to be the John Madden at this moment. Let's see. What were the songs? Dominic the Donkey was spared.
Yay.
Yes, you were cheering. Barnes and Barnes, Fish Heads.
How?
And not only that,
yeah,
you put the guilt trip. As I found out, because someone sent me that one half of Barnes & Barnes passed away during the time period.
How could you people vote for a song when the creators of such a song passed away?
One of them.
That's like going up to the crypt. I mean the coffin and going, Actui. And kicking out the standards on and just knocking it over.
You were angry when The Sound of Philadelphia was spared, but you had revenge when the Pennsylvania Polka moved up.
Yes. Yay. But the Juggalos, they advanced. The Juggalos advanced. So
here we go. We're going to do this.
Yes. There's only 16 pairings this week, so.
Yes. Here we go.
Yes.
The Terrible 32. Right. And if you are listening to this and you want to make your vote, send it to me either on Discord, private tell, or if you're not in the Discord, listen put it in a game email, all your choices, and then send it to me. Therefore, we get, you know. All right, first round. We go to the top left. This would be, if this was the actually NAACP, this would be the Western Conference.
Or the Northwest. I would say the Northwestern bracket.
Okay. All right. Hanky Panky Madonna versus Insane Clown Posse Jump Around.
Oh, man. These are getting tougher now.
Yeah. Well, usually the first two rounds go quick. No, it was getting hard in the first round for some people.
I know, right? I got to vote the Juggalos because we already have a Jump Around. House of Pain. So
okay.
I got to say, Juggalos, got to go.
All right. Rick Astley, Never Giving You Up versus Fish Heads.
Now, you know where I'm leaning on this one. Rick Astley?
Yep.
Got to give you up.
All right. Panamonica was happy because Zydrate is spared. Coconut?
Yes.
She's threatening that if Shiny Teeth and Me is deleted from my list, she will make her own version for the meme attack. So I want you to consider that when I say
okay.
Shiny Teeth and Me by Chip Skylark versus Don't Be a Ballsack by Sarah Hester Ross.
I will say Shiny Teeth and Me are safe this week for me.
Okay. I was going like...
You thought when I said that, I'm going to vote for it. I told you.
Snuggle Bunny versus Bryan Adams, Get Off My Back from Spirit.
Now, what was the Snuggle Bunny? What's the whole thing with the Snuggle Bunny?
It was a German ring song, ringtone, and just like Crazy Frog, it picked up popularity.
And the other song was
Get Off My Back by Bryan Adams from the animated movie Spirit about the horses.
And why is everybody... Yeah, but why does everybody hate Bryan Adams all of a sudden?
I think South Park said it best here in the movie Bigger, Longer, Uncut. Now, wait a minute here. We apologize several times for Bryan Adams.
Oh, all right. We'll keep Snuggle Bunnies. We'll get rid of Bryan Adams. So.
Okay. Birthday Spanking Song versus Barney I Love You Song.
Oh.
You're
you know I got to vote for Barney. You know, you know, there's no, you know, Barney's a perennial favorite to get kicked off. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Masquerade. I'm sorry, Bunnies. You can't get the final four you want with the Spankings because Barney's got to go. Sorry.
All right. Ozzy Fudd, Wabbit Slayer versus What in the Butt by Samwell.
Wow. I want to go with... let's go with What in the Butt.
Okay. William Shatner, Tambourine Man versus Rick D's...
Oh, Shatner.
Shatner.
You know what's funny? The only time I hear Shatner is during this.
The Sulu Dance from Howard Stern.
Right.
Versus Father Abraham Smurfing Beer.
Okay, I don't get the whole Smurfing Beer thing. It just sounds so wrong.
You don't get drunk and they disappear.
Yeah, let's get rid of that. Let's just get rid of that fucking Smurfing gear. So.
Okay.
No, yeah, because you know. Yeah. No. Sulu.
You're changing it the last second.
Because I got a feeling it's going to be Sulu versus Shatner.
Everyone wants Sulu versus Shatner. They want to solve that 50-year war.
It's going to come down to the two OG Star Trek captain. Because remember from the original movies, Sulu became a captain. And the last original cast thing is like, when did Sulu have time to have a daughter? So.
Would you believe when they did the Star Wars reboot and they made Sulu homosexual, George Takei was not happy with that decision.
Which reboot? Was that the online series
did? No, it was the Chris Pine movies.
They made him homosexual, man?
Yeah, in the second movie.
Oh, I didn't even catch that in the second movie. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But George Takei, was angry. Not so much, you know, because they tried to match with him. He goes, okay, that's flattering. But Gene Roddenberry had a set of rules, reasons why certain people were certain ways, did certain things during the whole thing.
Huh.
And it was kind of played out all the way to the end where where Shatner and Picard actually meet.
Right.
You know, if you look at the beginning, you know, Enterprise B, there was a Sulu, and they said it best.
Right.
It's an Enterprise, there's got to be a Sulu at the helm.
Right. So he's great. So how can he be homosexual if he has a daughter?
Well, you know, their argument is they adopted.
Oh, please.
But anyway,
that's
a whole can of worms. Moving on, the other half. Now we're in the Northeast.
Okay.
Spank My Booty by Lords of Asses versus the Pennsylvania Polka, Frank Yankovic.
Considering I see the bunnies voting for the spank, I'm still voting for the polka.
You're going for the polka.
I gotta stay true to myself. I gotta vote for the polka.
Ice, Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice versus David Bowie, Mick Jagger, Dancing in the Streets.
I gotta go with Ice, Ice Baby. Only because he sampled Queen. He sampled Queen!
All right. Trump, Green Acres versus Crazy Frog, Axel F. The original Crazy Frog.
The Trump, I'm sorry, that Trump Green Acres thing is just some things. Silver Gray. Mask would like to know your location. Not Philadelphia.
Joe Dolce, Shut Up Your Face versus Picture by Sheryl Crow, Kid Rock. There we go.
I'm going to vote for Shut Up Your Face.
You're going for Shut Up Your Face.
Yeah.
All right. Tim Wilson, now we're in the Southeast. Booty Man by Tim Wilson versus Baby Metal, Give Me Chocolate.
I'm going to go Booty Man.
Going with the Booty Man. Insane Clown Posse, Boogie Woogie Woo versus Up Butt Coconut by Perry Grip.
We're going with the Juggalos. They got to go.
Alto's going to give you a mean look.
Why?
Every time, it goes all back when I first aired it.
Right.
All I saw was coming from him and then in fetal position.
For the Juggalos?
No, for Up Butt Coconut. Because he was trying to contemplate how one would put a coconut up one's butt.
Okay, hold on.
Trying to do the scientific math of it.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. I just want to relay this to you. The two in question, Juggalos, produced two movies. Now, granted, they had independent wrestlers in their movies, and they actually formed a Juggalo wrestling company. In their said movies, they were the stars of their own movies.
Mm-hmm.
They wore their face paint. Okay? They had a lot of cameos, and it was like one was a Western and the other, I think they went up against like, it was a gangster type big up against big corporation type thing. And it was just like, I watched them, I think once, maybe twice by accident. Like, did I miss the point of the first time I watched this? And it was just like, oh, good fucking Lord. Like, one of them falls in love with, like, a midget. And it becomes the sheriff of the town, the Western. I think one of the funniest scenes is they wind up blowing up the town outhouse. Standing in the middle is Dustin Diamond. You know, Screech from Saved by the Bell. And he's standing there, and he surrounds himself with newspaper going, why didn't you have a chance to wipe? And he makes that stupid Screech face of his. I was like, okay. And that was the funniest thing in the movie.
All right, let's see. Oh, yeah, okay, there we are. Hampton and the Hamsters, the Hamster Dance versus
yes.
Ween Ocean Man from the SpongeBob movie.
I am going to vote for SpongeBob.
Going for SpongeBob.
Yes.
All right, last two.
Yes.
MC Frontalot, it is pitch black. You've been eaten by a guru. The Zork song, as I call it. Or Chowder Man, I am the Chowder Man.
Okay, give me a quick rundown of those. For some reason, I can't remember those two songs.
You are likely to be eaten. You are likely to
okay.
be eaten by
right, give
a
me
group.
The second one. All right, give me the second
I
one.
I am the Chowder Man. Yeah, that's pretty much
oh,
it.
Oh, good
the
Lord.
Chorus.
Oh, let's go with this.
It also
oh,
sounds
God.
Like they remixed the DX music.
All right, let's go with the first one then.
All right, those are your votes. That it is. Now, if you were playing the game and you're on City Heroes or Champions, send your choices to me on either game mail or on Discord in a private tell. We find out Friday, I'll be starting early on Friday, which of the terrible 32 goes to the sour 16. This ain't the sweet
oh, Friday
16.
We're going to find out this week?
Yes, Friday.
What? Wow. What time Friday?
6 or 6:30. It all depends on when I get home, if there's weather. Because they're once again
wow.
talking another snow bit.
You know, there's always weather.
Yeah.
You mean there's bad weather.
Yeah, bad weather. Yeah.
George Carlin
once again,
said that.
They're talking about snow. It's like we had December, January, even November for up here in the upstate New York, where we had no snow. Soon as we get to late February, early March, okay, we're making up for everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Friday, 6 or 6:30, I start. And I will reveal which goes to the sour 16.
Okay.
And it's that time.
Yes. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm just taking care of something here.
Is it me or the people carrying the tome from the tomb a little flying high?
Yep. Good Lord. They have homemade Dark Side of the Moon logo t-shirts on. You guys are ridiculous.
I don't know if they're at Tisha Chung level or Afro Man level or Willie Nelson level.
I don't. You guys are.
It's legal in New York,
you know,
now. Come on.
Yeah, but we're on the satellite, so it's kind of like I don't know where we're. Well, technically we're floating over it, but you
well,
guys are
floating, all right.
They're hovering. They're always floating. They're hovering. They don't have legs.
Yeah, well, And literally and figuratively.
Right. Hold on, I just lost my page. There we go, I got it. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, bring it in. They're just bringing it in and just hovering and just floating around. You are ridiculous. You should be ashamed of yourselves this week. They're wearing sunglasses or trying to wear sunglasses. Oh, great. And you know, you mentioned the dark side of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one who's a little off center. The one who's off center. You know, the one, he's dressed like, well, that one's dressed like Dorothy. Why? Why do you have to be different? You got to be different all the time.
Okay. And one more reference of rain if she ever comes to New York. I can see you now. I take her to Coney Island. We go to Nathan's.
Yeah.
I go, what do you want, Rain? She goes, you know what I want. I love the footlong kielbasa.
I was thinking that. I was thinking the footlong special.
And not just a regular hot dog. It's got to be the kielbasa.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So, they've gone to the tomb to get the tome. We all know what the... Oh, wait a minute. I almost got disconnected from COH. All right. In the annals, got to be careful with that word, comic book history and superhero-dom. There have been many, many, many supervillains. Dr. Doom, the Red Skull, Lex Luthor, the Joker, many supervillain groups, the Legion of Doom, the Injustice Society, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. But if you're one of these guys, you need a major upgrade. If your arch nemesis is one of these guys, that is, you need help. Because these are oddball criminals from comic book history. These are representatives of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains.
If Four Bushman is laughing at you, yeah, this is it.
Yeah. We start off, as usual, with the Golden Age. Our first supervillain is an enemy of Mr. Justice.
Oh, he
was created by
Golden
Joe
Age.
Blair.
Here we go.
That's right. Created by Joe Blair and Warren King. And or Sam Cooper. You know, when there's an and or, we're in trouble.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That's right. Debuted in Blue Ribbon Comics number 13. MLJ Publications, June 1941. Not to be confused with Blore, Dictator of Uranus. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Out of the gate.
We covered
out of the gate.
We covered this one already. He was on. He was back a ways. Okay. His quote: "You stupid offspring of a pig." I speak of none other than the Dictator. Nice name. All right. Throughout the 1940s, superhero comics were rarely shy about making direct associations between Adolf Hitler and any variety of vile monsters or criminals. Dozens and possibly hundreds of saboteurs, gangsters, traitors, and even infernal creatures either took direct orders from the Führer or in some fashion partnered up with him and the Nazi cause. However, no other villain took that connection to quite the same extreme as the Dictator, who was a literal combination of Hitler and Satan. Oh my goodness. A nameless thing of evil looks down on a world erupting with hate and greed, explains the Dictator's introductory text, as a leering, crimson-skinned figure stares from his throne of skulls upon a smoking model of the earth. And in the thing's foul and distorted mind, a vicious plan takes form. Transforming himself into an anonymous house painter, the Dictator goes to work. He spreads a quote-unquote gospel of evil and terror, turning a nation into an armed camp and threatening world peace with escalating militarism. Confronting the Dictator is Mr. Justice, the avenging spirit of an unjustly murdered 11th century English prince who returns to the modern day to battle a fiend, as high-profile Hitler-slash-devil combination couldn't possibly escape the notice of a dedicated crime fighter like Mr. Justice. That man and his fanatical lieutenants must be stopped before they destroy civilization. The do-gooder observes, the time is right to stop ignoring the dictator and do something about him. And do something he does. Mr. Justice clashes repeatedly with the dictator in more than half a dozen consecutive issues, striking at the menace's support structure of vain, power-hungry lieutenants and marshals. After all, he deduces the dictator can exist in mortal form only because he's supported by evil men. In time, the dictator withdraws from direct confrontation with Mr. Justice, instead sending magically enchanted subordinates such as the Evil Eye and the Titanic Green Ghoul. The dictator's choice to delegate authority undoubtedly helped Mr. Justice's crime-fighting career, although a concentration of the supernatural incarnation of all evil and the political leader of the Western world's most aggressive military dictatorship might make for the most capital V villain in the history of comics. It does limit a hero's options. Whom do you battle when you've already taken on a dual-purpose devil-slash-Hitler?
Later on in life, he would go into his painting and actually start Red Devil Varnish. It was an actual product.
Right.
I remember that.
That's right. All right. And here we go to the Silver Age. All right. So in the Silver Age. Oh, good Lord. All right.
Oh.
This one. What? What?
I know. It sounds like we're going to make up for no double entendres. Here we go.
I don't know. We have an enemy of Jack Q, or Quick Frost, created by Otto Binder, or Otto Binder, and Jack Sparling. He debuted in Unearthly Spectaculars number 2 of Harvey Comics, December 1966. Most resembles a giant baby Viking in a high chair.
Yeah, I'm going to get the jokes now.
Oh, good Lord. The quote, "You are a man of courage, are you not? That's it. Closer. We shall grapple together." The name, Lord Lazy, or Lazy. I think it's Lazy. I don't know. Anyway, crime, it seems, requires an active body to accompany a devious mind. After all, supervillains might be called upon at any moment to defend their latest world-conquering scheme or devastating death ray from the unwanted attention of some spandex-clad do-gooder. One indolent ne'er-do-well is simultaneously too lazy to extricate himself from his high-tech recliner, yet menacing enough to almost conquer the world. Plump but sinister, in his quote-unquote control couch, Lord Lazy, yes, it's Lazy, cuts an interesting figure, to say the least. Outfitted in a horned helmet and scarlet jumpsuit, he seems dressed for action, when in reality, he literally never leaves his chair. Nevertheless, Lazy ominously plots the domination of Earth. With the press of a button, he activates robot agents from miles away. The multitasking machine men do everything Lazy commands, from simple bank robberies to devastating assaults on important landmarks. The Panama Canal, for example, ends up on the receiving end of a long-distance missile. Opposing Lazy is a formerly frozen super spy bearing the unlikely handle Jack B. Quick Frost. Secret agent James Flynn's career began when he was found encased in ice after enemy agents threw him from a plane. Somehow, the frigid interment has granted him the ability to project a freezing liquid from his body, although he periodically needs to recharge his chilly powers. This battle between Sloth and Frost requires Lazy to call upon his terrible trio of terrifying robots, Terrorquake, Tidal Ruin, and Tornado Doom, Tornadoom, sorry. Good Lord, that's Tornadoom. There you go. Jack Hugh Frost, for short, is run ragged in his attempts to stem their destruction. He doesn't do a very good job, to be honest. Terrorquake scores a major victory by knocking the Washington Monument to the ground, practically squashing Frost in the process. The characters got me biting icicles, Frost snaps bitterly. Here I am, a super-duper character with a below-zero cold punch, and he tops me like I was a sad sack. He adds in the daffy patois that typifies the book's dialogue. Lord Lazy's laissez-faire attitude toward villainy seems to pay off. Prostrate and pampered, being fed luncheon food pills by his manservant, Vigoro, and pressing buttons, the lethargic villain manages to unleash utter chaos on the world's civilizations while avoiding capture by the Sub-Zero secret agent. Still, undefeated by the end of their conflict, Lazy lives to fight another day from the comfort of his padded throne. And that's all they have written about him. We don't get to find out what happens next.
Oh, that's easy.
Damn
now,
it.
You said he was stuck in a high chair?
Well, it's a high chair that looks like a, I guess, a lazy boy.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
When you said high chair, I'm going like, yeah, we know what happened to him after that. It's simple. If you ever watched Bugs Bunny, I want an Easter egg. I don't want an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
Uh-oh. Nothing. Uh-oh. I can find it.
All right.
Nothing. I'll find it.
But if we're going to go with the lazy boy, then yes, we do still know.
We need the recliner.
No. I wasn't going to go there. I was going to go, yep, he became a part of the Futurama cast. He's Hedonism Bot.
Lord, yes. just give me a moment. I pulled the bookmark for the last one fell out and I can't find it. I'll find it. Just give me a moment, folks. It's right over. I found it. I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
When all else fails, the dating game song. Or was that the newlywed?
Hold on a minute. Where is... Hold on a minute. Yeah, how are you supposed to read this one? Yeah, but hold on. This is kind of weird, this one. This entry.
Okay.
No. It's like...
Well, let's hear it.
Wait, hold on.
As the old hives have us in suspense.
Yeah. No, hold on. I. No, hold on. Hold on. I'm just checking something. This is what's really weird about... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Are pages stuck together?
I'm not going to ask.
No. Okay, no. This is what's weird about this one. All right, this next entry, it's like 5-1, but there's not an official thing set up like the other one. All right, this is weird, this way this one's set up. Okay, here it is, the inventory. It just reads, Beast Named Bad Guys. This is how it reads. As with the American Muscle Car, comic book heroes and villains have always drawn inspiration from the denizens of the animal kingdom. In both cases, within a few decades, the good names were all taken. Scrabbling for pseudonyms among the few remaining birds, beasts, and bugs. Not a reclaim by more established villains leaves some wrongdoers with a less than imposing alias. Here are a few of the Pintos and Skylarks of this elite community. And they give five examples. So here we go. First off, created by Jerry Conway and Steve Ditko. This one debuted in Tiger Man number 2 of Atlas Seaboard Comics in June 1975. Mm-hmm. I present to you the Blue Leopard. Either the colorist was on vacation or the villain in question misunderstood adjectives work. But whatever else can be said of the Blue Leopard, he wasn't blue. Sporting a traditionally hued leopard print costume with blue shorts, gloves, and boots meant that although about 20% of his costume was the proper color, one of his crimes was false advertising. All right, this next one. I remember this one. Created by Stan Lee, John Buscema, Jim Mooney,
Buscemi,
and John
Buscemi.
Buscemi. What's that got an A at the end?
Maybe that's a typo.
No. Jim Mooney and John Romita Sr. debuted in The Amazing Spider-Man number 81, Marvel Comics, February 1970. I give to you the kangaroo.
Yes.
I remember this one, yep.
I do.
Studying the high-hopping marsupials of his native Australia grants Frank Oliver the power of impressive leaps and an ignominious criminal career. When he mistakes a deadly virus for a wad of cash, he ends up being incinerated by a deadly radiation. Still, his legacy lives on in the second kangaroo, who formed a less than impressive alliance with fellow beastly Z-list baddies, the Gibbon and the Grizzly. Our third entry, group of five, created by Barbara Kessel and Trevor Von Eden, debuted in Batman number 401 of DC Comics, November 1986. I give to you Magpie.
Another one.
Okay. Launching a criminal career must be tough in Gotham City, where Batman has faced off against hundreds of colorfully costumed villains for more than 75 years. When sorting through the few monikers that remain, Margaret Pye must have felt very lucky that her given name matched that of an existing bird and has kleptomaniac tendencies matched her own. Next up, this one is created by Bill Willingham and Scott McDaniel. Debuted in Robin, number 144, DC Comics, January 2006. I give you Tapeworm. When the world outside the writer's window fails to yield new animal-themed super crooks, why not take a look inside? Way inside. Capable of stretching to incredible lengths.
Oh, boy.
with much of his body replaced by worm-like appendages.
That's doing well.
I know. Tapeworm would be one of the most unnerving supervillains in existence, even without considering that apparently he smells terrible. Stretching power is at its finest.
Okay. I knew somewhere down the line someone was going to make up for it.
Yep. There you go. And finally, our last beast named bad guy for the night. This one was created by J.M. DeMatteis, Peter Gillis, and Alan Kupperberg. Debuted in Defenders number 131 of Marvel Comics, May 1984. I give to you the Walrus. Underground, an experiment that grants him the proportionate speed, strength, and agility of a walrus. This costumed identity has to be almost the last choice in the long list of potential animal inspirations. Mass destructionist Hubert Carpenter accepts his scientist uncle's attempt to grant him tremendous animal abilities, evidently making it all the way to the W's before finding something that takes. Good Lord. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is this week's entries from the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. What?
They missed one.
That's what they had listed. What? Ooh.
Iron. There's an Iron Man villain that is animal-based that was missed. The Porcupine.
Ooh. That was also a villain of She-Hulk. I remember that.
Yeah, well, they had, after Iron Man's going like, they got to get someone.
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what? The Porcupine wasn't like a half-baked hero.
Only for a brief moment in the 70s.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the Porcupine was like decent, so.
Like a brief moment in the 70s.
The Porcupine made it.
Yeah, but
Do you remember the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game?
Yeah.
The Porcupine was listed as a villain in one of the supplements.
Yeah, but I mean, I know he served a purpose during the time period of Demon in a Bottle for Iron Man. That's where he shined.
Right, but he shone. That's the point. These don't shine. It's like Kangaroo, one and done. And then he came back.
And you disappeared because I just came back.
Ah, nuts.
Nah, I think it was the game because all of a sudden it was I was stuck in map server.
Okay. But the point is, these are half-baked, you know what I mean? It's like one and done. Or if they come back again, they come back worse than the second time.
That would be the
Porcupine. Was around. He was around, though. Okay, we're back. But I think he was around. So, and remember, it's this person's, you know. Okay, do we have time?
Right,
what time is it? We don't have time to talk about what I want to talk about tonight. Damn, we don't have time to talk about what I wanted to talk about tonight.
No, but we did a public service on how to eat certain foods.
Okay. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Lord of the Rings getting the Star Wars treatment. I have time to research. Oh, well, that's important. It will give me time to watch the Rings of Power. That'll be my homework this week, to watch that.
Oh, and we'll also talk about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie.
Yes, yes.
And
Why do they do these things to us?
It was like the originals in the 80s. They surprised us with the 2012 version. That would be the computer animation one. The one in the middle is like, hit and miss. After
right.
that, what the hell? And what the?
Right. And then 2000s. Oh, my God. Well, 2010s. 2010s that came out, right? No, 2000, yeah.
The 2012
series
one. Yeah,
was
the
awesome.
2012 one. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was great. They should have kept going with that one. They should have. And then the one after that, what the fuck? It wasn't even what the hell. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, they
you know
topped why? They went past WTF. Add
what
a few
the,
more letters.
What the fucking hell is this shit? Oh, I got it. What the fucking hell is this shit you're throwing at us?
Yeah.
Holy crap. It was like some iteration. This is the TMNT you didn't ask for, didn't
that's
give a shit about, no one asked for, didn't care.
I'll give him the tease. Seth Rogen, creator of Sausage Party, is responsible for this.
No, nothing this one. I'm talking
said.
About the TMNT that came
yeah,
on
so
Nickelodeon.
Am I.
The
oh,
2D.
No.
Right. Yeah, I'm talking about that one. The only interesting story. No, the only cool thing about that one was that Master Splinter has an interesting story. He's the only thing that was cool about that. So.
I seen the new TMNT movie trailer, rather liked it. This could be a case of the best parts of the movie is in the trailer.
I got a feel. Yeah. Hold on, Mordecai. I will post it. I will post it now. And this way everybody can get caught up on it instead of waiting a week. This is the article we were going to discuss. I'm going to post it in Dawn Radio. There. That's the article and the trailer's in it. And we'll discuss it next Monday night. That's your guys' homework. My homework is to watch 8 1-hour plus episodes of Lord of the Rings, Ring of Power. And it takes place in the Second Age.
Oh, and I said I was going to, when I seen enough episodes, I would give you my ruling on the Night Court reboot, sequel.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm behind
they
by three
even
episodes.
John Larroquette satisfied all those waiting for the original Dan Fielding. Going like, he actually found love, and she died.
Yeah.
He's 75.
Right. Yeah.
He can't do the same thing, like he get away with things like he did when he was, in the 80s. So
what I think is funny.
That worked.
What I think is funny is you were waiting for the name of the janitor. If you'd watched the end of the second episode before we went on air, they gave the name that second episode, that first night. I'm like, because I missed the second half of the second episode. I'm like, wait a minute, they mentioned his name already. And I said that to you. I was like, you didn't watch the second episode. No, I missed the second half. Well, they named him Rasputin.
Yep, I did watch it.
So. Yep, like they named him already.
So
they did all
I
that.
Am not. I am not disappointed in the new Night Court. I am pleased.
No, it's pretty good. Yeah,
they kept the spirit. You still get the acid tongue of Dan Fielding. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Oh, we got 90 seconds left. It's just he's 75 now. He can't do. You know, he's a 75-year-old Dan Fielding doing what he used to do. So, and actually, he's an executive producer on this one. So.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. So who's left alive of the original cast?
Richard Ball, Bull.
Okay,
Marshall Warfield, Roz.
Right.
That's it.
Oh, okay. All right, 60 seconds left. We didn't get to everything we wanted to talk about tonight. Go vote for March Madness Mayhem. And no, if you agree with my picks, you can't go what Pogo voted for. No, you have to vote for your own. If you're mad at my picks, sorry. I gave my reasons why. We can agree to disagree peacefully, I hope. You guys rock. Without you guys, me and Mad Viking would just be talking about this stuff anyway to ourselves. But we have an audience. Watch those genre shows and movies, read those comic books and superhero novels, or, you know, anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking, before we're kicked off the air.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. And what's coming up next?
On Dawn Radio? Yes, I do. I was able to get the latest Greatest Generation.
Greatest Generation. All right. So stay tuned for Dawn Radio, Greatest Generation podcast. Embrace the Dawn on Dawn Radio Fritz. And I picture that horse kneeling over. DawnRadio.dj-fritz.com. And the horse has bowed his head. I'm sorry. You have to know the movie to get the reference. And check out History of the World Part 2 on
One.
Hulu. Part one and then part two to watch it. Part one, then watch part two on Hulu this week, and we'll discuss it next week. And all it's whatever. All right, I think we're off the air.
All right,
I think we're off the air. Hold on, I gotta find the. Where did I put the link for the show? I have three windows open. I can't. Hold on. Yes, we are officially off the air.
Yep.
By 3 minutes, so, okay.
All right.
All right, go do your thing. I'll end the show. I'm going to go grab some grub, and I will talk to you Wednesday night.
All right.
All right. Have a good night, sir. Thank you for co-hosting. Good show. Good night. Bye.
Bye.